Okay, we're up to Simin Shin Ayin Hey Sif Gimel. It is on page Resh Nun Hey in the Dir Shem Kibbutz, which comes after page 488. Again, Resh Mem Hey Simin Shin Ayin Hey Sif Gimel. We are continuing. We are finishing up the laws of the Mirpeset. We learned yesterday. We had in the picture on the previous page. We have a courtyard below. We have a balcony above. Above Ten Tfachim, there are a group of homes which open to the courtyard, and there are a group of homes which open to the Mirpeset, to the balcony, to the Mirpeset above, and each one has made an Erev among themselves. And the question is, can they carry from one to the other? The answer is absolutely not. Being that they have not joined together in a single Erev, the one may not carry from the Mirpeset to Chatz M'Chatz to the Mirpeset. And then we also learned that being that the only exit from the Mirpeset is from the ladder, is the ladders to walk through the courtyard, it is essential that the people above join together in an Erev in order that they should not ruin it for the courtyard below, even though they have not joined together, because they have no way out. The only way out is through the, is down, going down the ladder, and therefore it's called it's a chotzer within a chotzer, and the rule is a chotzer within a chotzer. If the people of the inner chotzer did not make their own Erev, they will automatically ruin it for the outer, the larger outer courtyard, because of what we called yesterday the contamination theorem. Now we have over here an exception. Gimel. Hoysa matseva arba tfachim lefnei hamer peses. It's not exactly clear what this means. I didn't look into the Sugya and the Gemara. I'm going to look at the Gemara in detail, but basically what it means is that the people in Mer Peset, if they make a simon, this is very common in Masechta Erevin. If you make simonim, a ziz, you're on a boat, you put a ziz on the front of the boat, there are different examples, have that in the next simon as well. If you make simonim, you change the dynamics of your relationship with your neighbors. Here we have the Mer Peset. I'm assuming there is no the case is the same. There's no other exit. The only exit for the people above is to go down the ladder into the courtyard. But in this instance, the people of the Mer Peset upstairs decide, you know what? For this Shabbos, we're going to lock ourselves in our homes. We're not going to walk through the courtyard downstairs. We don't need to walk downstairs. We have a shul upstairs. We have food upstairs. We're comfortable. There's no need for us on this Shabbos to walk down the ladder and go into the Rishus Rabbim. Of course, if it's an emergency, things are different, but we're going to remove ourselves from the courtyard downstairs. And the way they do that is they make a simon. What is the simon? They construct a matseva, just some type of boulder, some type of stone, some type of platform at the entrance near the ladder, the entrance from the lower level to the upper level. And this boulder, this matseva, this stone, serves as a reminder, as a statement, that we are disassociating ourselves with the people downstairs, at least for the Shabbos. Then, that is a simon. We accept that. We're going to be off limits. We're going to stay away from you. We're not going to bother. Then the people upstairs will not ruin it for the people downstairs, even if the people upstairs do not join together in an Erev. We learned yesterday, a chotzer within a chotzer, the people in the inner chotzer will automatically ruin it for the outer chotzer if they do not join together in an Erev among themselves. Here, by making this matzeva, let's read in Sahaisa matzeva arba tfachim in height. They make some type of pillar in the marpeset. That's four tfachim in height. Lifnei amirpeset. And the function of this pillar is a statement. It's a symbolic statement that we disassociate with the people downstairs. Ein hamir peset oiseres al bnei hechotzer. No longer will the people upstairs be a problem for the people downstairs. Shaharei nech leka mehen. They have decided to distance themselves from the people downstairs for this Shabbos. Let's see the Mishnah very just show Mishnah inside. Arba tfachim begoyv ashlan height. Ein hamer peset aseres rotzel aymar. Afilu hatel v'yamud hasmucho lo besoch arba tfachim begoyv asor tfachim. Even if it's even if this mound, and he's focusing on another point. Means the moment they've made a hefsek, a separation. Now he's saying in the Mishnah Berurah, he's saying in additional chiddush. Let's say the people upstairs do not join together in an eruv, right? That's a given. They do not join together in eruv, so that's a given. This matzeva automatically means we're not going to associate. We're not going to have anything to do with you. Let's say a bigger chiddush. Let's say we learned yesterday there is a pillar in the chotzer, and the pillar is higher than 10 tefachim. And it's within 4 tefachim from the edge of the balcony. So we learned yesterday, who, under normal circumstance, where both the merpeset and the chotzer have made their own independent eruvin, which rishus gets exclusive rights of the surface of that pillar? So what is the rule? To whoever it's more convenient to use. So if the pillar is lower than 4 tefachim, is lower than 10 tefachim, so then we have a conflict, because it's of equal convenience for both. If it's less than 4 tenth fachim of height for the people downstairs, and it's less than 10th fachim in depth for the people upstairs, the ease of use for the people downstairs and upstairs is equal, and they cancel each other out. But what happens if the pillar is 10th fachim in height? So for the people downstairs, they have to go up 10 tefachim. For the people upstairs, they have to go down, bend down less than 10 tefachim. So for whom is it easier to use? Less than tefachim wins over a height of more than 10 tefachim. It's granted to the people upstairs. Along comes the Mishnah Berurah, and he tells us a very interesting chiddush. If the people, let's say the people of the merpeset upstairs made their own eruv, and the people downstairs made their own eruv, but the merpeset upstairs made this matseva, they constructed some type of simon, some type of symbol that they want to disassociate with the courtyard downstairs, then even if the pillar is 10 tefachim tall and within a horizontal gap of 4 tefachim, which means under normal circumstances the service of this pillar downstairs would be granted to the people upstairs, it's not theirs. It goes to the people downstairs, because the merpeset has disassociated with the chutzer by constructing this symbolic matseva to make a statement: we no longer want to have anything to do with the people downstairs. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah. Now we go to Dalit. Now let me just explain Dalit outside very quickly, very simple. The Dalit is the same thing we learned yesterday, but instead of dealing with pillars that are 10 tefachim tall, we are going to deal with protrusions from the side of, well, it seems from the Gemara that it was very common in ancient times. You have a wall, there are always little stones jutting out, possibly built by design, in order to make use, there should be a surface to put something, to rest, to store an object on a stone with some type of protrusion that extends from the wall. So here we have the merpeset, the same picture we had yesterday. Same picture from yesterday, but in the wall of the courtyard, somewhere along these walls, there are protrusions that come out of the walls, which are within range. You know, they don't really show well in the picture over here, but are within range of the merpeset and are within range of the local people, the courtyard downstairs, who gets exclusive use of the surface of these protrusions that come out of the wall. And the answer is very obvious. To whoever it's of more convenience. If these things are 10 tefachim above the ground that come out of the wall, obviously we're going to give it to the people upstairs, because for them it's less than tefachim. And for the people below, it's more than 10 tefachim. If it is lower than 10 tefachim, then there is a conflict, because each one has the same ease of use, and whenever there is a conflict, each one cancels the other one out, and no one gets right to use these zizin, these protrusions which extend from the wall. So let's see inside quickly. Zizin, from the walls, kol shulamat me'asara tefachim, anything that's less than 10 tefachim, hareze nechshav me'achotzer. So now I was not correct. This is not like the case of a pillar. This is different. when it comes to a protrusion that comes out of the wall, if it's less than 10 tefachim, it automatically goes to the chotzer, even though a pillar in the same exact dimensions would be both, would be canceled, because they have both ease of use. But a zig that comes out of a wall is given automatically to the chotzer, to the residents downstairs, provided that's less than 10 tefachim. It belongs to people downstairs. Any time that it's above 10 tefachim, but it's also within 10 tefachim, people upstairs. If it's above 10 tefachim and it's within 10 tefachim from the people above, automatically it's granted to the people above. V'anishar bein asar ha-tachtonim, between the asar ha-tachtonim and tchilas asar ha-lyonim, min azizim, anything which remains between the bein asar ha-tachtonim and tchilas asar ha-lyonim, min aziz na-yotzim shneim asurim bo, they cancel each other out. V'ein mishtam shemochem b'kelim sheshavsu b'abotim elim kein ervu, and then you need to make a joint erv. Let's see Tezvav. Mishnah Berurah Tezvav says, Myri kishahoyu yoiser me esrim tvachim min hoalio lekarka. We're dealing in a situation where there's at least 20 tvachim, because it automatically must be above 10 tvachim above the ground. Above 10 tvachim ground lekarka chotzer. Vehu adin kishahoyu pochus me esrim tvachim viaziz oimed beemsa, in the center, viein mimenu asar tvachim loyal zeh veloyal zeh. So in a situation where, I guess, where it's equal use, I guess that's what I'm saying, where to bend down for the people above is less than 10 tefachim, and for the people below to rise up more than, less than 10 tefachim, so it's equal use, then we give it, they both cancel each other out. So the basic rule is, I think it's identical to what we learned before, if I'm not mistaken, is that if we have a ziz, and the ziz has a surface area of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, because if it's less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, the Mishnah Berurah before, and this sif says, it's a mekayim patur. And a mekayim patur, like the wall that's less than 4 tefachim wide, automatically is mutter for both. But where it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, we give it to the courtyard that has more convenience. If it's less than 10 for one, and more than 10 for the other, we give it to the one that's less than 10. If it's both, for both parties, it's less than 10, they cancel each other out, and no one gets it. Okay, that concludes the sim. Next sim is Shin Ayin Vav. Bar u'be'er shebein shtei chatzeros, without sifim, bar shebein shtei chatzeros. Can we see the picture? On the right side, we have a courtyard. And notice this courtyard, there is a wall that separates the two courtyards. And the wall, so each courtyard is completely separate. In between the two courtyards, there's a bar, as you see in this picture. Are you allowed in your courtyard to draw water? What's the problem? Why should there be an issue? Because when you draw water, it's very likely that your bucket will swim underneath the wall and take water from the other side, the other courtyard. You're not allowed to do that. Since in this situation, the two courtyards have not joined together in a single area, you are not allowed to take water from the other courtyard. So if you're going to let your bucket dip down into the well, it may continue to go to the other side. Now the truth is, you can be careful. If you really want, you can be very careful. You can make sure your bucket does not go to the other side. Do we trust you to be careful to make sure that does not happen? So the answer is no. Now the wall itself cannot serve as a division. Normally we have a principle of good achis. We have a wall. The wall goes all the way down. The only time we say the wall goes all the way down was when the wall was built for the purpose of going all the way down. In this instance, when the wall was built, there was no well. It was not built for the purpose that it should go all the way down and make a virtual wall into the well. It was a wall to divide between my courtyard and another courtyard. At some point later in time, a well was dug between the two courtyards, and now we just happen to have a wall which goes above the rim of the well. The wall will not serve as a separation between my water and your water. So bar shebein shtei chatzeros, v'ein b'neim pesach, there's no pesach, oy chalon, sheyuch l'arv, oy sheyesh b'neim, or there is a wall, but v'loy ervu, and they did not, well, let's say there is a Pesach Chalom, but they did not join together. So the rule is, Ein Memalim Menu B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to draw water from your portion of Shabbos. Ela Im Kein Osu Mechitza Sar L'Malim Min Amayim, V'Tzarech Sheyeyeh Tefach Min Amechitza Yer V'Tzarech Hamoyim. So this leniency, and that's the Mishnah Berurah says, Kalu Shekilu B'Mayim. Since all of these laws are only Midrabanan, when it comes to, well, they were lenient, and they only require there to be a wall that is one Tefach deep. If it's one tefach deep in the water, it's good enough. If it does not enter the well at all, it's no good. But if it enters the well, even though one tefach normally is not called a halachic wall, a tefach is insignificant, but here Chazal will lean, if the tefach goes in one, if it goes in one tefach, it's good enough. Let's say the mechitza was entirely in the water. We require another leniency. We require it, the wall, to come above the water at least one tefach, kedei shetihia nikeres rishuzeh mirishuzeh, to make it noticeable that these are two different rishuyos. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah of Vav. Vimasa hamechitza kulub sechamayim haynu shel huasara tvachim vuadin afilum hoitza arucho yoser magas ad karka habar. So even though we have over here a wall, what divides these two courtyards? What divides these two courtyards is a wall in the water. It's a very strange type of it's like flooded almost. Think about three courtyards, and in the center is a body of water. Are these considered to be one big courtyard, or is it considered to be two separate courtyards? Since there is a wall in the water, in other words, the courtyard, you know, make believe of one big courtyard, and the level of the ground sinks like this, and then there's a heavy rain, so it fills up. So when you look at this courtyard, it appears to be one big courtyard that's shared by two different groups, the group on the left and the group on the right. However, there really is a wall. There's a wall that's 10 tefachim tall down the center. Even though that wall is sunk, it's below the water, it doesn't matter. Al pi halacha, it divides the left from the right. And the people on the left are not allowed to carry, not allowed to throw things to the right. People on the right can't throw things, they can't go over the wall because they have not joined together. Now the question is, are they allowed to draw water on Shabbos from their portion, their section of the courtyard? The answer is no. Because even though it's true that technically speaking these are two different courtyards and there's a wall in between, the wall is buried beneath the water, and when I draw water, I'm drawing water from my side, when they draw water, they're drawing water from their side. But being that there is no hecker, being that the water comes above the wall, it's not noticeable, and it's very possible that when I go and I throw my bucket with the rope, my bucket may float on the water and go over to the other side of the wall and take water from the other section, which is clearly forbidden. So in order to allow this to be done on Shabbos, the wall that is divided between these two courtyards must rise above the water at least one tefach. Kidei shdehini keres rishuzem rishuzem v'chein imasu al pi habar koyra v'chav arbat tefachim. There's another leniency, like you see in the picture on the bottom, picture number 3. If you look in the picture on the right side, we have the two courtyards, and we have here a koyra. We have here a beam. The beam is 4 tefachim wide. It does not enter into the water. It's not above the water. Here as well, it is permitted. That's another technique Chazal were lenient, a new thing that they created. And also, the piyabar kara v'ruchav arba tefachim zem mal mitzad hakara zem mal mitzad acher, and it is fine. Hagah, the dafka and bol lemalos pekelim shabayis. It goes without saying, it's only when you want to use kale that are in the house, because then there is a concern that the utensil that you took from the house may go to the other side and take water from the other side, and you're not allowed to let your utensil that came from your house go and enter the other courtyard. But if the bucket was resting in the courtyard before Shabbos began, so we know, you don't need an Erev. You're allowed to carry from one courtyard to another courtyard kelim that were resting in the courtyard even with an Erev. There is no issue. Aval kelim shalachotzer lo b'inon shum tikon dohachatzer shushos achasein kileel asemin shin ayin beis. Okay, sif beis. Be'er shab emsa shvil shabein shnei kosle achatzeros. Now we come to a new case. That's the picture number 13. Okay, here we see picture number 13. Now let's discuss this. Notice on the left is a courtyard, and on the right is a courtyard. In the middle is an area that is off limits. No one is able to walk on that earth. That's a no walk zone. Okay, that's a fire zone. No one's allowed to walk there. And it's notice there's no access. It's a mavui, and there's no way for the people in the two batim to get there. You notice the window. Someone there made some type of window, but that's not a door. In between that area, there is a pool. There is a reservoir. And the people in the courtyard on the left who have made their own Erev want to throw a bucket with a rope on Shabbos. They want to throw it down. They're going in the case where this mavui is closed. You know, we don't see it being closed, but let's assume that we don't see the fourth wall. Let's assume that somehow that the whole city that the area is closed off on the outside, because if it was completely open, there would be a problem. But let's assume for now that the area is closed off outside of the area of the picture where we cannot see. So there's no question of carrying in this area. The question is, it's an area that is shared by two courtyards. What is the rule of Eruvin? You're not allowed to take an object that's miyuchid for one rishus and bring it to an area that's shared by a group. And likewise, you're not allowed to take an area that's shared by a group into an area that is exclusively used by one group. Here we have two courtyards. Courtyard on the left is for group A. Courtyard on the right is exclusively for the use of courtyard B. In the center, who shares it? Both, A and B. So seemingly, it would be a violation of halacha for me to take a bucket, attach a string, throw it out the window, have it land in this pond, and draw water. Because I'm taking water from an area that is shared by a group, me and you, to an area that is exclusively used by me. So along comes this halacha, and says that when it comes to using things through the air, avir, derech avir, Chazal never enacted the prohibition of going from a private rishus to a public rishus. And let's review. What is the entire principle that we're learning over here all along for the last few weeks? You have an area that's four walls. So there's no issue of derais. I mean, Torah, you're in a rishus hayach. Nothing, no questions asked. Problem is, even though it's a rishus hayachid, but who has rights to this rishus hayachid? 20 people. I have my rishus hayachid over here. Who has rights to this rishus hayachid? One person. You're not allowed to take an object from a rishus hayachid that is exclusively used by one person to a rishus hayachid that is shared by 20 people, because it resembles carrying from a rishus hayachid to a rishus haram. It's not a rishus haram by any definition whatsoever. It's a rishus hayachid, but it resembles the prohibition of going from a rishus hayachid to a rishus haram. The solution is in eruv chatzeros. Here there is no eruv chatzeros. The courtyard on the left is a rishus hayachid that's exclusive for one group. The courtyard on the right is a rishus hayachid that's exclusive for group number two. But the problem is, the area in the center is a rishus that's shared by multiple groups. This seemingly would be a classic prohibition of Shabbos. It resembles carrying from a rishus hayachid to a rishus harab on a derabbanan level. The answer is, notice, you're not carrying with your feet. You're not walking. You're not going, you're not handing things over from one person to another person. The entire way you're going to transfer something is through the air. You're going to take a bucket, tie a string to the handle, to the bucket, and throw it out of a window, have it draw water, and pull the water up with a string. That's not your typical type of carrying. That's an unusual form of hoitzah. And in this instance, Chazal did not apply any restriction. Now there's a caveat to that, not so simple. Now in this situation, in this picture, if you take note, in this picture they show on the right side that in between the window and the pit, there is an area that's less than four tefachim. What would happen if on one side it's less than four tefachim, and on the other side it's more than four tefachim? Or let's say it's more than four tefachim on both sides, or less than all the various scenarios. We learned yesterday that when you have a horizontal gap between one rishus and another rishus, if it's less than four tefachim, it's convenient. When it's more than four tefachim, it's so inconvenient. When something is when it's convenient for one party and it's inconvenient for another party, we tend to grant access to rishus. We tend to allocate the area in question to the party that has greater ease, nichale, more convenience. So that is what this entire sif discusses. Ber shebeemtza ha-shvil, that is in between a shvil, is a path. The path here is what it looks like to us, like a courtyard, a mavui. Even though it's inconvenient for both, it's inconvenient because it's more than four tefachim. That's not the case of this picture. This picture, excuse me, shows where that the gap between the pit and the wall is less than four tefachim. Even in a situation where the gap between the pit and the wall is more than four tefachim, it does not matter. It's inconvenient. Even though it's inconvenient, it doesn't matter. Shneim mimalim mimena. Both courtyards have a right to draw water without making an eruv, because it's not your usual type of carrying. Mimena the einam tzrichim zizin al gabam. Now this is a gemara. There's another opinion. The Mechaber is just trying to point out that we don't paskin like another opinion in the gemara. The Gemara there says that you can do this, but you must make a heker. You must make a simen. You must put a stick of wood out of your window to remind you that the only reason why I'm allowed in this instance to take water from an area that's shared by a group to an area that's not shared by a group is because I'm carrying in an unusual way through the air. And I should not confuse and can do the same thing when I actually walk and carry from one rishus to another rishus. And the way you remind yourself is by making a simen. What kind of simen? You put a stick out of your window. Strange type of simen, but that's what the Gemara says. Along comes the Mechaber and tells us, we do not accept that opinion la halacha. You don't need to make for yourself any type of reminder. You're automatically allowed to do this but you're allowed to do this without a reminder. You can throw your bucket out the window. It can pass even an area that's more than four tefachim wide, horizontal distance, to draw the water from the pit. She'ein adam oiser al chaveroi derech avir. Because when you're dealing with an area that is used only through the air, it's not used through actually walking on the ground carrying, there is no restriction. Hagav, the Rama disagrees. V'davka g'shein ha-chatzeres p'suchos l'shvil l'shvil. V'davka g'shein, he just explains the dealing situation where there's no access. The only way you can get there is through this window, through throwing things out the window. V'davka g'shein ha-chatzeres p'suchos l'shvil rak b'chaloinas. The Yesh, now the Rama says another opinion. I disagree. The Yesh, some say the Im Einam Muflogim Arba Oishrim Afilu B'chahai Gavna. The Rama disagrees. He says the only time Chazal allow you to do this is where it's convenient for both of you. Where it's convenient for both of you, meaning that the gap between the two, the pit and your window, is less than four tefachim. But where it's more than four tefachim away, it's inconvenient, and we do not allow this. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah Tezvav. V'yeshayimrim deyazo. The Rama quotes a different opinion. Sriule lehepach midei kamaisa. De'ein lahatir rak davka kishabar muflug min kosei hachatzeros arba tefachim within four tefachim. De'oz. The other way around. That if it's within four, the second opinion says the only time we hold that ear space is not a problem, is not considered a joint rishus to prohibit one upon the other, is where It's an inconvenient use of the airspace. Why is it inconvenient? Because there is a gap of more than four tzvachim. Okay, what's the lamdas? The lamdas says we normally you're not allowed to carry from a rishus that is designated for one party to a rishus that is shared by a group. That's the basic concept because that resembles chaytzah on Shabbos. But if it's an unusual circumstance, then Chazal did not impose any restrictions. What is called an unusual circumstance? Obviously, if the way that you transfer from Rishus A to Rishus B is through the airspace, it's not through opening up a door and walking with your feet and hands into a Rishus, but it's through the airspace, that's unusual. Along comes Rama, no, that's not unusual. So what? Just because I'm throwing something out the window with a bucket and a rope, that's not so unusual. To make it unusual, there also must be a gap, a horizontal gap of more than four tefachim. So not only is it through the airspace, I also have to throw it through the airspace. The combination of air and a gap of four tefachim, which includes zurika, is what makes it unusual and allows us to be lenient and not require an eruve chatzeros. Let's just read the Rutazov one more time. This opinion holds deyazos svirula lehipuch midei kamaisa dein lahatir rak dafka kishabar muflug min kosa chatzeros arba tvachim deoz. Then when we have this combination mikre hatashmesh, it's called derech avir. It's not called avir. Even though there are no doors, the tashmishon hurak derech chaloinos. Sheba koisel upotzku achroinim kedeazo. And this is the halacha. The halacha of bottom line follows that in order for something to be considered an unusual type of use, where we will permit you to carry from a rishus that's set aside for one person to a rishus that's shared by a group, is only where we have the combination of the double unusual factors, that the only way you can use this area is through the air, there are no doors, and number two, you have to use the area by throwing through a horizontal distance of four tefachim. Okay, we'll stop here.